Welcome to the Orchard Hard Drive. Mike and Muro, back with you once again, folks, for another episode. Two stories for you this week. I have Tentacles in the Sink, Part 2, the conclusion to last week's story, and The Writer. But first, let's recap what happened last time in Tentacles in the Sink. Dale, a handyman, was called to a house. Green tentacles were coming up through a sink. The situation escalates, and there is a giant monster battle with a huge green monster and Dale's truck, which could become a giant robot. After the battle is won, Dale, with a grappling hook, climbs down the pit the creature came out of. He discovers another monster, begins to follow it, only to be startled by a stranger, and almost fell. Luckily, a root was there to grab on the cliff edge. And now, part two of Tentacles in the Sink. Dale was hanging from a root. He could hear the sounds of the giant green tentacle creatures making their way towards him. Dale was struggling to think what he could do to get out of this. What could he do? He was in total darkness, and he could feel his grip loosen. Then he could hear a voice. It was that voice he'd heard before.
Hey! Hey! Yeah, you! Up here!
Dale looked up. It was the masked figure he'd seen before.
Let go!
Dale furrowed his brow.
No!
He said.
Well, you don't have much choice now, do you?
Said the figure, holding its flaming torch out over them, lighting up the area. Dale almost couldn't look. He didn't want to know just how far down the drop was.
Will you just let go? What's wrong with you?
Said the stranger, getting annoyed. Dale opened his eyes. He thought maybe he could find another ledge to land on, and, well, the bottom was a foot down. He dropped down onto the ground, a bit embarrassed.
What brings you down here?
Said the voice.
I was helping someone fix the sink. Those green yorks broke a sink in a bathtub, a whole bathroom.
Oh, sorry about that.
You must have gotten away from me,
said the figure. They walked down four steps that were just to the side and made their way to Dale.
Well, now you've discovered what I've been doing down here, said the figure.
The light from the flame flickering across his strange mask. Dale looked at this odd fellow and said,
No. I've absolutely no clue what you're doing down here. At all. Like, at all.
Oh. Well, see, we came through a portal here on the ground. I'm a shepherd for these majestic creatures on my world, only it's no longer safe for them there. I was bringing them to a new grazing ground, a new world, where they can live in peace. They only attack if they feel fear, so I've been trying to keep them safe down here until I can somehow get home. Only, I cannot get the gate to open again. I fear we will be trapped here. And now I fear they could get out and cause more trouble. But I shouldn't bother you with my worries.
Well, you have. Come on, show me this gate, Yog.
They walked down a darkened tunnel, and the light danced around what looked like carved stone. Dale wondered who carved it. Maybe it was this stranger's people. Maybe people older than that. Maybe it was humans, and we'd long forgotten it. Eventually, they arrived at a large stone portal. Before it was what looked like a stone table. The stranger led the handyman towards it. Dale looked at it, scratching his head, trying to make sense of it all. Then he noticed something. Dale placed his toolbox down once again. The stranger watched as Dale removed his handy spanner. Dale had spotted a stone bolt. Dale pulled the spanner, tightening it, and with a deep, loud hum, the portal came to life, then settled down, as if waiting for a command.
Well, there you go, that should do it,
said Dale, wiping his brow after putting his spanner back in his toolbox. The stranger was fighting back tears as he thanked Dale.
Well, that's his grand. Just mind yourself now and keep them green yorks healthy.
The stranger nodded, and with a whistle summoned the giant green creatures who came along slowly, following the stranger as he guided them into the glowing doorway and to their new home. The stranger waved goodbye and left. The portal closed, and once again, Dale was in darkness.
That Egypt took the torch.
Eventually, Dale made his way back to the bottom of the pit and once again shot a grappling hook up and pulled himself out. It was morning. Todd, Nicky and Oliver were asleep in the living room, having spent the night waiting for Dale to come home.
Right, well,
said Dale, waking everyone up.
That's sorted anyway. Those creatures won't be back.
And began to make his way to his van. Everyone ran out after him to thank him for everything and ask him what he'd seen. He played it off like it was nothing, but reminded Nicky and Todd to get that bathroom sorted. He waved by raising his hand and pulled his van away and headed off into the sunset. Who knows what adventures lay in wait for Dale? Who knows what other things he'll be asked to fix? But whatever the problem, Dale will most definitely have a tool in his toolbox to fix it. And now, our second story. Here is the writer. A man was standing on the side of a long empty road. He was wearing a peaked cap and wore a light brown leather jacket and black jeans. The boots were work boots, black. He looked up the road as if he was expecting something. Then he looked at his watch. Hands in his pockets, he went back to waiting. He could feel his legs getting tired. His feet were already tired. It was a long walk getting here. He looked up the road again and bared his teeth in annoyance. Then turned and walked, just pacing more than anything. He walked back to where he'd been standing or thereabouts and looked at his watch. Once more he looked up the road. Then, for a change, he looked down. The wind picked up and he put his hand on the peak of his cap and pulled it over his eyes to keep the dust out. He was relieved. Finally, they were here. He looked up the road again. Nothing. Annoyed, he kicked the dirt. Then he turned around and there was a dog. When he looked again, the dog had the face of his brother.
No, I hate it. What?
No, it gets good.
Now in the real world, two young men were waiting at a bus stop, while one is looking through notes on their phone.
No, I hate it. It starts off boring, then it gets weird. I hate it,
said the non-writer who's been having to listen to his friend's stories.
Colm, it's good. Wait, hang on. Listen to this,
said the writer, finding another half-finished story.
Then he stood on the hill. The hill represented grief. Good, eh?
No, it's not.
You just don't understand.
It's terrible.
Okay, hang on. Right. He went into the chamber, and there before him stood Metallicus, the Dragon Lord. Then the dragon spoke. Finally, you are here. The man was stunned. The dragon had the voice of his math teacher from secondary school, Mr. Kelly.
No, I like the dragon, but everything else, no.
The bus pulled up and the two got on. After sitting down...
Right, okay, but what if it turns out it's all a dream?
No, I hate those twist endings.
Right, okay, yeah.
The bus stopped and the two got off. Steve waved goodbye to Colm and went into his house. Inside, he went into his room, sat at his computer and started to type. There he stood, the mighty warrior. He held his sword aloft and proclaimed that he would get revenge. Revenge against those who had wronged him, especially the dragon who had taken everything from him. His gold, his village, he took it all. The warrior then reached into his bag and took out his map. There, that's where the fiend lives, said the warrior, and set off on his quest.
Oh no, this is nice,
said Steve.
I need an ending or something, or even just a beginning. I don't know.
Steve turned off his computer and went to bed. Steve woke up on the side of a dirt road. He looked around. There was nothing but dry dirt as far as he could see. He had no idea how he'd somehow fallen asleep in his bed, only to wake up here.
There you are,
said a voice. Steve looked behind him and couldn't believe it.
It's you. You're the guy from my story.
Story? I've no time for any story. We've got work to do. Get up. You've kept me waiting here for hours. Go on, get up.
And pulled Steve onto his feet. Steve was in a daze.
Is this a dream?
Asked Steve.
Huh?
Replied the man with the peaked cap. Steve repeated his question.
Of course it's a dream. You think dragons are in the real world? Didn't you just fall asleep? Come on, I thought you were at least kind of smart.
Steve couldn't argue. Of course it was a dream. As soon as he'd said it, it had made sense.
What's your name?
Asked Steve.
How should I know? It's your dream,
said the man in the peaked cap.
Oh, yeah. Buck?
Fine.
The newly named Buck nodded in the direction and they started to head off. Steve looked around. It was a vast desert. Nothing really there. No plants. The mountains in the distance. The ground was dry dirt. Steve looked off into the distance to where they were headed. Then, as soon as he thought of it, a mountain.
Is that where we're going?
Asked Steve.
Yeah, I guess. Let's keep going. Shouldn't be long now.
They wandered for a few kilometres before the vast mountain, whose shadow now seemed inescapable. Steve could now see a huge wooden door. Buck walked up and knocked. Soon the door slowly opened. No one there, just a long hallway. Steve was a bit disappointed. He didn't know what he'd expect. But before he could say anything, a huge humanoid beast roared into the faces of the heroes. They ran. Steve could feel the creature behind them chasing. The sound of each step pounded, causing the ground to shake. He could feel its breath on the back of his neck. The beast raised up their hand and was about to grab them when Buck pulled Steve away into a side room. The creature ran ahead, seemingly unaware of where they had gone.
"Should be in this room," said Buck.
They were in a vast hall. Huge columns seemed to rise up and go on forever. Then a booming voice said,
Steve, I've been waiting for you.
The voice belonged to a huge dragon. Smoke bellowed out of its nostrils. Its wings spread out as if to show Steve its power. Then the voice spoke again and said,
"This is cliché. This is derivative."
No!
Steve could hear himself scream. Yeah, just like that. The walls of the hall cracked and a white light spilled in. Then it all shattered. And then Steve woke up at his computer. Oh, it was just a regular dream, he thought. Then, no. Hi, folks. I clear. So I'm just like, I just don't think the story is really up to it, you know? Just kind of got to this point now, and I'm like, look, you know, it's a story about a story, and it's a dream, and it's just like, I don't know. I know I set it up so that you know it's a dream, so it's not a twist, but still, it's a bit too self-aware, you know? And I just don't think it's up to it. I think I'm going to go away and come back with a better story for you next time. So just, sorry again, Fox.
It was at that moment...
Hang on.
Michael heard what? A sound.
Who's that?
There was another bang on the door.
Who's
talking? The
door
smashed open.
What?
And standing there was a huge ogre.
Smash! Stupid computer!
The computer smashed to bits under the weight of the ogre's fist, and then...
No! Why can't it just be paper go to get a dragon? Why can't it just be this?
Yeah, maybe you're right, actually, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to rewrite this.
You have been listening to the Orchard Hard Drive. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts. And don't forget that while you're there subscribing, please do leave a rating or review. It really does help out an awful lot. The Orchard Hard Drive is also now on YouTube. Yes, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel. Links in the description. Folks, that's all for me today. Until next time, goodbye.